2. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, the radio of reason and independent streaming radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, July 29th. The time is now 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the USA. Folks, Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our liberty, our freedom, and our rights. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, that means off broadcast time, you can call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access broadcasts from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numerical two. He discusses economic issues and how they might affect you. Well, good evening, everyone. This evening, I'd just like to read quickly a couple of emails before we get on to the major portion of our program, which is qualifications for President of the United States, and that takes many forms, as you can imagine. But let me read you one here. This is from, Mark. Mark says, it is not required that you and I agree on everything for you and I to get along in the world, or for me to agree 100% to... 100% to listen to your show, Thanks for crediting me on my first point of my email. This is the same Mark as last week. Thank you, Mark. I had a feeling it would be an obvious thing to point out to you. Most likely, you already knew it. It is just that commonly we disconnect our ideas of religion and having absolutes from overall comparative religious studies. I have many friends who have differing opinions than I do on many things, especially politics and religion. Here is something that you might find interesting because it speaks to the idea that we cannot provide a value judgment on something someone else's faith. By the way, don't I do that when I say that someone who uses their faith for political gain should not be trusted, especially those who turn their policy and actions in office against the very faith they profess, as George Bush is doing? What about the faith of the 9/11 hijackers? Wasn't that evil? Even if we do believe that the United States policy was the aggressor for 10 years prior. And he goes on to suggest some further readings for me. Thank you very much, Mark. And here's another one. He said, I'm glad that you have so many archives available to your show. I am really trying to gain insight into more granular aspects of libertarian thought. Kind of nitpicking, but I have heard that you use the word aggressive. Punishment, vengeance, or using intimidation and force to get results is what I would call aggressive. To be assertive, you might need to get firm, but without being angry, frustrated, or scared. The big difference is an attitude of justice that always gives the other party an opportunity to respond and find a positive outcome. Very, very well put. This is from Jeff. Should we be aggressive to other political parties? Since most libertarians seem to champion an assertive approach to foreign policy, should we really show aggression to political rivals but only assertive stance with Ahmadinejad? Guy from Iran. I am open to discuss, but feel assertion is the best approach to all conflicts. Couldn't agree with you more, Jeff. Thank you very much for your email. I will be discussing Thursday morning, 6:30 live, 6:30 to 7, Thursday, this coming Thursday morning, August 2nd, jingoism as a failed American foreign policy, and I will discuss that. It's just got this aggressiveness versus diplomacy and non-intervention. Thank you very much for your email. Today we're going to talk about presidential qualifications. And in my blog, I said, you know, who should we be looking for and what should we be looking for in someone who desires to lead this country? This question is asked frequently during debates and personal interviews. However, my opinion really answered correctly. And we're going to discuss that right now. When you think about the qualifications for president, one of the first things that come to mind is what the actual qualifications. For example, I believe you need to be 35 years of age. You need to have been a natural born citizen and been residing in the United States for the past 14 years. And that's about it. Of course, you can't be denouncing the United States or anything like that, or else you would not be acceptable. But some of the things that are the unwritten rules of being for qualifications, those are the things that get people into office. For example, if you're a member of one of the two major political parties, you stand a much better chance than if you're independent. The only person who came even close to that was Ross Perot back in 1990, and he had about 19% of the vote. He really blew it. He probably could have won if he didn't go wacko on us for some reason. Anyway, but he was an interesting fellow, and I'd like to see a Ross Perot come back just to mix things up a little bit. But what I had to do is I had to go to the websites of the four leading presidential candidates. And I wanted to see what they wrote down as their qualifications to be president. And I thought that would be interesting because then I said, then I can have a comparison. So I made a little spreadsheet for myself. And I won't mention which one is which because it's totally immaterial, absolutely immaterial. And you can probably guess who they are by some of the comments that I'll make. But I don't mean to pick it on any one of them. But so I figured, well, let me get the qualifications and line them up and compare them. And then we'll talk about those qualifications versus what we believe the qualifications should be. To my surprise, not one of them mentioned their qualifications. What they did, in fact, on the websites, they had like issues, about me type thing, join, contribute, all this other stuff. But none of them had qualifications. Now, what they did do is they gave us background on themselves. And of course, they went on each one of them in nauseam on, they served in the military, they helped the poor. When they were young, they did this and that, and they have pictures with them with children and all that. You know, the sort of stuff that you don't read, you don't want to read. And if you did read, it would turn your stomach, right? It was all PR, blah, 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 okay? So I found that just very uninformative, and so that didn't help me at all. So then I went to the next closest thing is the issues to see if the issues gave me some insight as to why I thought they were qualified. Well, that didn't do any good either. Now, the closest they got to, of course, being their qualifications is when someone said, well, I served 14 years in Congress and I know my way around Washington and stuff like that. Well, we all know that at this point in time, that really is not much of a qualification, saying that you know your way around Washington and, you know everybody there, you already have connections, and don't worry about it if you need something done, I know what hand to grease. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to, and we don't want to hear that. We want to hear what a person truly stands for. And so the closest thing I can do to coming to a qualification for president from our major contenders was what they stood for. And that didn't help me out, because what they stood for mostly were in the, the level of platitudes. They weren't concrete. For example, not in, and I read through the websites, but not in total detail, but I did read major sections. In one of four websites, and I read them considerably, only did I see the word freedom once mentioned. The word freedom was mentioned only once. Now, folks, we have a real problem. If we think we're going to go out there and vote for somebody because they're going to do something for us, they're going to grease our palm, that means we are going to lose our freedom. And if you think your freedom's being gained, that means mine is being lost. It always becomes a zero-sum game in that regard. And I found this all very disconcerting, because I really wanted to make this a broadcast about qualifications and why we thought the qualifications of one person might exceed or excel over the qualifications of another. And yet, we have no qualifications to speak of. No one answered the question, this is why I should be president. Now, they say things like, we want to steer on a new course, you know, we want to, it's time for a change. Talking about wanting to vomit over words, I mean, time for a change. I think everybody from the dog catcher of a local municipality to President of the United States has used that term so often, it no longer has any meaning whatsoever. In fact, it's probably a negative thing, because they say when you say that, that means things are going to stay exactly the same. All right, so let me just do this. I thought that what they typically say is that in the debates or during the debates, that one thing that qualifies them for the office of president was their years of service in Washington. Now just think about that. Because you've been in Washington and served in Washington and had some sort of position in Washington, regardless of what it was, whether it be in Congress, whether it be anywhere in that is a plus. Now, when you really think about it, why would you have to know anything about Washington in order to be president? If you want to become the CEO of a large corporation, let's say you want to become CEO of General Electric, one of the largest corporations in the world, manufacturing corporations in the world, right? Would you have to know about how that company runs? No. You couldn't know how that company runs. It has divisions all over the world. It has offices all over the world. It has a diversified products from electronics to military to jet engines. So you name it, it has it. You know, to appliances. Would you have to know how that company runs? No, but you should know how every company should run. Now, understand that, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm saying. You should know how any company runs. Let me say this. I run a small company. I can run General Electric. Why? Because I know what is required to run a company. I know what's the right thing to do, and I know what the wrong things are. The size of the company is immaterial. Now, I know I'm patting myself on the back somewhat, but I feel confident if I walked in, I would know exactly what to do. Now, I don't care if they make toothbrushes, they make jet engines, I don't care, you know, or toothpaste. It would make no difference. So for a candidate to say that I'm more qualified than my opponent because I have more experience in Washington, nada. No, that doesn't cut it. In fact, should be a clue that this person is part of the establishment. And possibly this is the person that we don't want into office. And then they say things like, I understand how government works. You know, I have been around government. I understand. Same thing. You don't know have to know how government works. You have to know what the guiding principles are. What is the President of the United States? Well, he's the chief executive officer. He's the CEO. He's not God. He's not the supreme ruler. He's not a dictator, not an autocrat. He's just one of three branches of government. He's part of the checks and balances. Checks and balances, haha. When was the last time you heard that term? If you're about my age, and I'm getting really up there, you probably heard that in civics class, but not recently. How often do you hear about checks and balances on the websites of the major candidates? Well, if you find it, please call me and let me know. By the way, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, I think we just got knocked off Blog Talk Radio. There was a problem with the system, and so we're still streaming now, but we're still live and we're still streaming. We're still fine. We just can't. If you try to call it, that our number, that's 646-652-4620, I believe we got knocked off somehow. Let me see if we can get back on. Oop, here we are. I think we're back on again. There we go. Okay, very good. Yeah, we're back on again. Please call in 646-652-4620. I'd like to hear your opinion. And then some talk about military service. Is military service a prerequisite? You know, I would hope not. And let me give you my rationale here. I'm not anti-military. I'm anti-offensive military. And I don't mean the offense, they offend me. I mean offense. I'm for defensive military is what we intended to always have. We were blessed with a country that is buffered from the Far East by the Pacific Ocean, from Europe by the Atlantic Ocean, with neighbors to our north who are friendly, and neighbors to our south who are friendly, believe it or not. Do you know we live in the most peaceful segment of the earth? I mean, we have no enemies around us. In fact, the neighbor to our north is connected to our 50th state, Alaska. Mexico would love to be the 51st state. People in Mexico love us so much, they're all immigrating here. I mean, what a perfect position we're in. I mean, if someone wanted to attack us, they'd have to have gobs of missiles put up in the air. We would probably detect them, knock them out of the air, you know, hit them before they hit us. I mean, they couldn't send ships over here or airplanes over here. I mean, we're almost immune to attack. And those countries in South America who are unfriendly to us, you know, are so damn far away. You know, South America is far away. I mean, except for Venezuela, it's not too far. But once you get down to Brazil and south, we are talking a long way off, especially the way the earth naturally curves. It's a long drive, fellas and girls. So we're immune. So we don't need a military that's offensive, but we should have one that can provide for the defense of the United States. What scares me is someone says, I have military service. What that tells us is that they have been involved, they had to be involved, in many military offenses. And all of our military involvements have been basically offenses. Now, we paint the picture, Vietnam was a defensive move, you know, as Washington would put. But they weren't. It was an offensive move. You know, our intrusion to other states. Our military is conditioned that we should be, you know, the interventionist, the worldwide interventionist. And we're going to talk about this, by the way, next Thursday morning at 7:30, jingoism, our foreign policy. And so someone who has military service, I want a discount for being president. I think the disqualification. And that's basically what they say. You know, I have years of experience. Or some of them say, the third party candidate says, I'm a businessman. I can run Washington as a business. No, you won't. You're not going to run Washington as a business. Definitely not. I wouldn't want a president to run Washington as a business. Because it's not a business. Because you're not the head. Now, let me give you another insight, different insight. I don't want a leader. Because if we have a leader, what does that make us? Followers. Do we really want to be followers when the government is for, above, and by the people? For, of, and by the people. We are the governors. We are individually. We have sole dominion over our own lives. We are the ones that govern. We elect someone just to coordinate activities. The president's job is just to maintain the checks and balances in Washington, to ensure that Washington does not infringe on our lives personally. He's one of three that ensures that there is a rule of law, that our rights, our liberties, and our freedoms are protected as granted in our Constitution. That's all that person has to do. Actually, the President of the United States is a pretty easy job. Now, if you want to be an interventionist, and you want to meddle around the world, then it becomes very difficult, and that's the way we are now. Now, here's some of the issues that, and I'll just pick them up at random. If you look on the websites, you'll see there's some commonality websites. They talk about strengthening the middle class. Since when is a qualification for President of the United States someone who is capable of strengthening the middle class? Doesn't that sound stupid? I mean, it sounds, it's a platitude, and it's stupid. The Constitution does not provide the President of the United States the right to strengthen the middle class, nor the lower class, nor the upper class, nor any class whatsoever. Most of them talk about providing affordable health care. They can't provide, government cannot provide health care. The health care industry can provide health care. Only institution that can provide it is the institution that does it, not the government. The government becomes a third party, a bureaucrat, and will screw up the whole thing as they screwed up Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And then we'll have our entire healthcare system in the same pot. We are running ourselves into bankruptcy. Now they talk about ending somehow the war in Iraq. Well, that's a joke, because the war in Iraq is really not being orchestrated by our president anymore. We have a military complex and a foreign policy that's run by so many people that no one can unravel that. I'll be very honest with you, I don't think we will ever get out of Iraq. It would be a nice gesture, but they don't say how they will do it. None of the four said, if when elected, on that very first day, I will bring my troops home. They talk about negotiations. They talk about building alliances with other nations, consortiums and all that. But yet, that may take years. Then they talk about, we should strive for energy independence. This is another qualification. So they have a plan. Each one of them have a plan for energy independence. That's not their job. Their job is to leave us alone and for us to trade with other countries. And why would we want to be energy independent? We are getting oil awfully cheap from around the world. I mean, really cheap. I know people complain about the price of oil, but remember, the only reason why the price of oil, I mean, half of the reason why the price of oil increased was because our dollar decreased to such an extent that it was costing the oil-producing countries that received our dollars twice as much to buy goods from us. So they had to raise the price so they can afford to buy our goods back again because the dollar depreciated. And who did that? Aunt May? No, the Federal Reserve. Our friends in Washington did that. They printed money, with no backing whatsoever, issued debt after debt after debt. People bought the debt, collected the interest, and now we're going to be paying the interest on that debt for the rest of our for our lives, our children's lives, and our grandchildren's lives. And the oil-producing, all the oil-producing nations, whether it be OPEC or in South America, Mexico, Canada, they know that. They said, hey, I can't sell you oil anymore at $25 a barrel. because your dollar is not worth $25 a barrel. It's worth $50 a barrel. Between 1986 and 2003, the dollar depreciated almost 50%. I think it was 47 point something percent. So what do you want? The price of oil to stay the same? So while oil is still very, very cheap on an inflation basis, we want to import oil. We don't want to exploit right now our own because it'd be economically devastating, but ecologically devastating. All right, another one. Global warming. Now, what the heck could they do about global warming? I mean, we all know the Earth is getting warmer, and most likely the carbon dioxide buildup is doing it. You know, this is an individual thing, not a government thing. What is the government going to do? Well, the government tell China don't build any more coal plants, or else we'll bomb you. But they'll probably do that. There's very little the government can do about global warming. Oh yeah, tax incentive. That's not their job. What should happen is that the price of oil should go up to a point where we say, hey, we should conserve. At that point, high prices, the only antidote to high prices is high prices. And then they say things like supporting the parents and the children. Let's see. Cleaning up. Oh, I like this one. One said, are we going to clean up Washington's culture of corruption? Well, this person has been in Washington for some time. In other words, we're gonna clean him up. Good. Get him. Disqualify him for running for president. Another one's, we're going to strengthen families. Is that the job? Look at the Constitution. Please, someone tell me, at what point does the Constitution say that the president is responsible for strengthening families? And here, reconciling faith and politics. I like that one. I like that one. And one said, I will ensure that we get conservative judges. That's scary. Are we talking about neocons with political nuts? One wants to defeat jihad. One wants to compete with Asia. And there's one, simplify the tax code. I'll buy that one. And energy independence again. And of course, we want to affirm American cultural values. Folks, the qualifications for the President of the United States is very simple. You don't have to be in Washington. You don't have to be a have been a military person. You don't need any experience whatsoever. You need a fundamental understanding of our Constitution. That is the only qualification other than being 35 years of age, etc., etc. You need a fundamental, and you need to be honest. And you need to be willing to ruin your own political career for the sake of everyone else. Without that, you don't qualify to be president. Unfortunately, mostly all the people who are running for president don't qualify. As far as I'm concerned, on this show, I am personally disqualifying everyone who is running for president, except for a few libertarians and possibly Ron Paul. So they can get out of the race now because I'm not endorsing them, and I don't think they're I know they're not qualified because they don't even know what the qualification for president is. Geez, it's almost time. It's almost 8:30. Wow, that went fast. Well, we didn't get any calls this evening. I'm disappointed. I wanted to hear some rouse about this. But please join me Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. That's August 2nd. We're going to talk about jingoism, a failed American foreign policy. Join us. Give me your opinion. And please send me your email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please send me email. I love reading them. I love responding to them. And don't be afraid to call in. When we're live, you can call in 646-652-4620. Off hours is 903-551-2186. Okay? And here we go. And this is the end of tonight's program. We'd like to thank Ranchenko's Audiology for their financial support. And we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, that'll be Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. We'll be live again, but we'll be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Please stay well. Stay tuned.